he said. So was I, and Camilla, and Pyrrha. We're all zombies as people here would understand them. I was born with aptitude, so I'm a true zombie, a wizard. Camilla and Pyrrha, who weren't, would be what they call minions. This hurt her feelings. No wonder Hot Sauce kicked me out of the gang, she said, and her eyes numbed with tears again. Hot Sauce is a very young woman who has been living on her nerves for so long that I imagine she doesn't have anything else, said Palamedes briskly. She'll regret what she did at some point. Nona's lip wobbled, and she had to keep swallowing hard. Palamedes carefully sat himself back down and grimaced, and she looked at his shackle for the first time. It was a big black cuff with an electronic red light that blinked off and on as she watched. He said, "It's an explosive shackle. After we suffer, saw Camilla and me pull the bullet from your head, I couldn't not work on you. She has come to her own conclusions, and whatever conclusions Crown wanted to give her. They've been very busy since we came back, so they wanted us to stay where they put us." Nona was incensed. "I hate it! I hate being locked up!" "So did Gideon, I gather." Then Palamedes looked very serious, and his face moved as though he were about to say something, when there was a knock at the meeting room door. He said quickly, "Tell Cam she and I need to talk as soon as humanly possible. I will get back to you. You're not going to die on our watch. I haven't been able to save many people in my life, I'm afraid, but I am intent on saving you." Nona did not want to lie to Palamedes, which was why she was grateful that the eyes whitened to that clear, glassy grey that meant Camilla, blinking hard a few times to get her bearings. The door knocked again, and Nona said automatically, "Come in!" The door opened, and someone walked in. An elegant, middle-aged person with shadowy eyes. They were wearing no mask and no goggles and no hood, and their hair was pinned up in a neat roll atop their head and wrapped in a brief scarf with a blue stripe pattern. They carried a little suitcase in one hand and two bottles of water, cunningly gripped in the other, and they crossed to sit in the seat we suffer usually sat in, and got comfortable taking things out of the little suitcase. Paper, clipboards, electronic equipment, pens. When they tilted their head quizzically at Nona, she realised with a start that it was we suffer. We suffer with no mask and a naked face, for the first time that Nona had ever seen her. "Do I surprise you, Nona?" she asked quite nicely. "We are beyond the cell disguises now, are we not? They are useful, but only to a point. I do not think you are capable of being tortured for my face."
"Why was I tied up?" demanded Nona. "Why did you cuff Camilla? Why did you shoot us? Where's the angel? Have you found Pyrrha?"
"A comedy of errors, I apologise," said we suffer. Nona noticed that the light on suffer's hair made it quite a nice chestnut colour, like rich mousse. She was probably quite a bit older than Pyrrha, with strongly marked features and an aristocratic, slightly hooked nose. And her face was marked with lines that showed even beneath a light layer of powder and makeup. If Nona had been in less of a woozy mood, she might have thought her pretty. But nothing was pretty at that moment. We suffer added, "I understand the bonds may seem unfair, but please keep in mind that you gave to my people a very great shock, and since you were the scariest thing I have nearly ever seen in all my days, that should not come as a big surprise." Nona was doubtful. "I suppose I'm sorry," she said. "Only, I don't think you're sorry for locking up me and Camilla."
"Do not bother with sorry. We are also impressed in our own way. I mean, now most people will not agree to be in the same room as you. That is fine. We do not need them. Hecht, as I told you last night, this has not been all for naught. Bash has admitted to having recently liquidated a big unit of Mervwing. That is fine. Unjust hope has not made a huge deal out of it. That was always his way, despite the losses. He will want to keep this quiet for a while. Usually you both meeting up with the messenger, whom you call the angel, would have been very bad. But I think we may actually survive it. They were unharmed by the experience. I do not think we need to register Pash discharging a weapon in front of them quite yet. Though when we do, we may all be hauled in front of a firing squad. We are riding the wave. Let us see where it takes us. And whatever the case, Nona, you were impressive. Blood of Eden is quite impressed by blood and guts. Most of this went over Nona's head. "You're not answering my questions at all," she said fretfully. "Who is the angel? I mean, the messenger?"
"That is above your pay grade," said We Suffer.
"You don't pay us," said Camilla.
"Yes, my little joke," explained We Suffer. "All you need to know is that they are the one with the little arboreal dog who is elderly. That is enough to know."
Nona said, "Is the angel important?"
"The angel is Blood of Eden," said We Suffer, but did not elaborate with anything other than, "In hindsight, not a good idea to keep the angel anywhere near the place we were keeping you, even in the same city. The problem with putting all of your eggs in one basket is there is such a mess when somebody sits on that basket. But how could we know any of this would happen? In any case, we are back. They have placed me in charge of the next move, and Unjust Hope has been bumped to the very backmost seat. For now," Camilla said.
"Which means what?"
"Which means I need you, Hecht," said We Suffer.
"Then take this shackle off my damn leg."
"As soon as I can. They would not let me put you two in the same room without it," said We Suffer. "They are impressed by her, as I said, but also very frightened. The Elses sent a lictor to negotiate, and then there you both are in the limelight, one of you able to shrug off a bullet to the brain, and the other fully capable of necromancy. A necromancy I knew not of. If you had told me, Hecht, I would have been able to spin it. If you had let me know, we could have thought of something together," Camilla said.
"You can't control your own people."
"I cannot ask them to tolerate the intolerable," said We Suffer. "I am not a tyrant. I exercise much control you are not seeing. For instance, this affair of yours and Nona's, it has not yet made it to other cells, and the rest of Ctesiphon will not tell them. Not yet. Today this is a family affair, and our hopes and attentions rest on another." Before Nona could even conceive of looking at Camilla's leg and getting angry again, Camilla gave her the cool it expression, and the desk in front of We Suffer beeped urgently. She glanced at a little flip-top electronic screen in front of her, and she said, 9 in the morning. She is in place. This is confirmed."
9? How long had Nona slept? How little had Cam slept?
When she looked at Camilla's face, she saw that her expression had hardened like the quick-set concrete at Pyrrha's work.
"This is your last chance," said Camilla tonelessly. "Pull her out."
"This is the only move we find it possible to make, and as a move it is sensitive to time," said We Suffer.
"She volunteered.
We need someone on the inside. Without understanding, we can make no move on that barracks, nor find the way forward. She is, perhaps, the only person for whom this would not be a suicide mission. She said it herself."
"You should have asked why she said that," said Camilla. I could have gone in. I'm a citizen of the Nine Houses.
After the last 8 hours, not one chance. In your own way, you too are too important to lose here, said Weesuffer. I need you to hear this as it happens. I need you to translate the nuances. And she needs you to be here for her plan to work, though she said she would do it alone. She said she was expendable, and that you were not. We agreed with this.
You've been played, said Camilla. Nona's legs felt weak.
She slithered into the chair, and Weesuffer quite nicely rolled one of the bottles of water in her direction. She caught it awkwardly, and it was nice to feel how cool the plastic was between her hands. She pressed it to her cheeks and her forehead briefly. She was still sweating. Camilla said, "Listen to me. Pull her out. She can't do this."
"Lieutenant Crown knows what she is doing," said Weesuffer calmly, though Nona would not have been so calm with Camilla making the face she was currently making.
It was like the time Pyrrha had let Nona smoke a cigarette, and Nona had accidentally eaten half.
"I have also told you many times. This is the swings and the roundabouts. A concurrent vote was called yesterday to set off bombs below the barracks and hope Iante Naberius did not live through it. There is a sense that we must play the aggressor. Blood of Eden has perfected the defensive game, never moving forward, perpetually shifting to our back foot. We awake too much to keep playing that game. Crown understood. I think she plays to win. And we now know we have more to win than ever."
Camilla crossed to the table, chain clinking. She adopted a posture that Nona had seen often, arms crossed over each other, head tilted a little in what Nona always thought of as the fly-upward expression. It was a Palamedes posture, and for a moment Nona thought it was Palamedes, but it wasn't. It was Camilla trying to be Palamedes. "Listen to me," she said. Every word was like a rock dropped into a tide pool. "This is a trap. It won't get you intel. It won't get you what you're calling the key. You walk her in there alone, she won't walk out. She's giving in, not fighting." This was a lot for Camilla to say. Even Weesuffer paused and furrowed her brow, and she said, "I cannot believe this girl would kill her own twin sister." "Kill her?" said Camilla. The little electronic device beeped again. Weesuffer tapped a button, and the speakers at the sides of the room made awful noises briefly. Weesuffer held a hand up to Camilla in the universal shh gesture and picked up a receiver.
"Transmitting. Ready Mu in position. I want snipers ready in case anything goes wrong. Headshots are preferred. Cover Troya if at all possible, but we have been told to take the shot no matter what."
"Get her out," repeated Camilla,
and for the first time there was a raw edge of desperation to her voice.
"Corona can't lie to her."
Weesuffer looked at her. For a moment Nona thought she would really do it. Without the goggles and mask, it was so much easier to translate her. She had a trick of keeping her eyes perfectly even. Pretty brown-green eyes with a touch of evenly applied black stuff on the lashes. Very glamorous to Nona. But you had to watch the mouth. The hesitation showed in the thinning of the lips, just briefly. Then it passed. Weesuffer pressed a button and said briskly,
"Eyes on the area. Are the crowds being held back? Keep the militia on the showboaters. I do not want any stray bullets catching the car or anyone coming out of the building."
"Yes."
"No, we'll keep it to audio. The system cannot stand the strain."
"Yes, you have your orders."
Camilla clinked back against the wall. Her eyes closed and she tilted her head downward so that her fringe, which really needed a trim by now, fell over her eyebrows. Then Weesuffer put the receiver down and twiddled a button, and the audio leapt in the speakers. Nona unscrewed the top of the cap of the bottle of water and took a long pull from it, which rinsed away the sour acid taste on her tongue. She nearly jumped out of her skin when the audio, exaggeratedly loud, suddenly tuned into traffic, a car insistently honking so that people let it through. The audio crackled. Someone was breathing, hard, a little too fast. The engine sounded like you were standing right inside it. But you could hear everything. You could even hear hands sliding over the car wheel. People were yelling outside the car. There was the noise of a big metallic bump, and then Crown's voice, indignant, barely a mutter, "Stop throwing things at me, you jackasses!" Her voice and the breathing sounded weirdly disconnected, but everything sounded huge and strange for being huge. The car wheels sounded like they were bumping over something, moving to different terrain. Then Crown said, "I'm through," and a cranking sound screeched over the audio as the ignition suddenly died. The car door opened like a bomb going off. Crown's boots clattered on the ground. The yelling sounded far off now, but was still there like a background radio. It was interrupted by a distant voice, speaking house.
"No step further."
Crown's voice, much more explosive and near on the speakers. "I'm unarmed. I'm unarmed. I am a citizen of the Nine, and I ask for sanctuary in the name of the Third House, in the name of the Emperor Undying. Please, for the love of God, I'm a sitting sniper target out here." There was a moment of absolute silence. Crown's voice went from panicky to tetchy. "My name is Corona Beth Tridentarius, Crown Princess of Ida, heir to the Third. My mother was Viola Beth Tritus. My sister is Elictor, and my brain is about to get spattered on the tiles unless you open this gate and let me drive through." There was another clanging, something opening and shutting. Someone said hoarsely, "Corona Beth Tridentarius has been dead for over a year. Get in your vehicle, turn around, go." But another voice, even feebler, said, "Look at her." Crown, sounding desperate, "My sister is in the cohort compound. She can positively identify me. Hurry up!" "Look, you understand." "I understand, Lieutenant. Lieutenant, right. And that's why I'm saying, get Ianthe. Get my sister. She can identify me, or identify my body, whichever you decide. Get me out of this crowd." There was another pause. Crown's breath was much softer now, less laboured, less strange. There were clangs and bangs that Nona couldn't pass. She took another swig of water and looked at Wee Suffer, who had one hand on her flip-top as though it were the trigger of a gun. And then she looked at Camilla. Camilla's eyes were closed and she was shifting weight slowly from foot to foot, one to the other, so gradually that her shackle didn't even clink. There were far-off shouts on the speakers, more clanging, voices saying something Nona couldn't hear. Then there was a silence made up of all these background noises, a nonsense of sounds stuck together, another far-off clangor. Then Crown drew the longest breath that Nona had ever heard anyone draw.
"Corona!" called out someone new.
Nona had heard that voice once before. On the broadcast. Footsteps, evolving into running feet. Something hit Crown with a big thump. A mess of sounds, clothes rustling, a sobbing, the audio squeaking as it tried to keep up. And Crown sounding unlike any Crown that Nona had ever heard before. Two voices trying to speak at once. "Don't touch me. Don't fucking touch me." "Shush, shush, my darling, shush, shh, here we are, we're fine, I've got you, love." "Oh my God, you're so cold, he's so cold, he's dead, sweetheart, it's me in here, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, how could you, please touch me, I'll die, I love you. I love you, I love you, I've missed you so much. Please be real. I'm real, we're real." "Oh, God, Ianthe," said Crown, and her voice changed a little. "This is sick. Look at him.
I hate you. No, you don't. You always say that. Don't cry, honey. You can't cry if I can't cry with you. It's not fair. I can't cry at the moment unless I do the tear ducts manually. Look at you. Oh, more beautiful than ever, even with crappy jewellery and a million split ends. Studs, darling. Earrings on a diet. Crown was hiccuping, sobbing, laughing all at once. Don't do that. Don't say what Babs would say. You know I always say what Babs would say, except when Babs said what I would. We kept you honest. Come here, my heart's love, said the voice, and Crown's sobs were suddenly muffled, then quieted, then silenced altogether. After a while, Crown said, How did you know I was here? I didn't, said the other voice. I've got people combing three other planets right now trying to find you. I never thought you'd be here. God, what a fuck-up. He's going to assume I did this on purpose. None of this has been my fault. How did you end up on this miserable rock, darling? It's a long story. I've got time. Come on, let's talk inside. No, leave the vehicle. Just get inside. I'm not at full bore at the moment, so it's dangerous out here. Come on, hurry up. The hiccuping was sniffled away, and Crown said urgently, No, no, I need the car. Ianthe, I need your help. Anything but come inside. No, wait. Another clang. Footsteps. The noise of a car door opening. The other voice that had been so tender did not bother to hide its revulsion as it said, Oh, you've got to be kidding me. She needs your help, said Crown. Camilla's head lifted. I thought she had exited this ghastly veil of tears, said the other voice, not at all pleased. Didn't Harrowhark tell you? The voice cooled and hardened like an ice cube. Didn't Harrow... What? When did you talk to Harrow? Just help me get Judith inside. You have to help her. The sedative's going to wear off soon. Ianthe, you're the only one. Ianthe, do not look at me like that. If you look at me like that, I am walking away. If you want me, you take her too, okay? The other voice rose in drawling, disgusted plaintiveness. Judith Deuteros. Judith Calendar for Every Birthday Deuteros. Really? It's the blue madness, Ianthe. She can't... Judith Deuteros, who, when we played Marry, Kill, Reanimate, you used to say reanimate because nobody would be able to tell the difference. That, Judith Deuteros... We suffer, tapped the flip-top and pressed a button and said tersely, Check the basement now. Where's the guard? Who has eyes down there? What is happening? On the speakers, Crown was saying, I can't. I can't be the one to let her die, not when I've let everyone else. Oh, God, honey, nip that in the bud. Nobody cares about Judith Deuteros. Seriously, my plans cannot afford Judith Deuteros. She's going to be absolutely crazy in the coconut until number seven leaves Corona. It's really nicer to kill her. Two-thirds of the barracks necromancers are dead already. There's only a handful left, and I had to put down three of them yesterday who absolutely weren't going to make it, and they looked significantly livelier than Deuteros. Stop looking at me like that. Do you like the outfit? No. Crown's voice was chilly. White makes Babs look peaky. Wait till you see me in it. I bet. I said, stop looking at me like that, said the voice languidly. Come on, Corona, you're pouting and I'm immune. I am a lictor now. I have seen, as the poets would put it, some shit. I really, really think you ought to let me put her down. I know what you're thinking. You think you can't come home again except as the conquering hero. Well, you're wrong. One, absolutely nobody gave a hot toot about Judith. And two, they made our birthday a memorial.
pictorial holiday, not a congratulations on the lictorhood, our daughter of the third day, a Coronabeth Tridentarius, our darling gone too soon day. Talk about vom. When I heard, I nearly died laughing. Have I hurt your feelings already, love? I don't mean to.
Crown's voice was quiet. Ianthe, please, please, there's so much I don't understand about you, about what happened, about Gideon.
The voice did not sound at all pleased when it said, so you do remember her name?
I was on a shuttle with her body for months and months. I want to know what's going on.
There's a lot to explain.
Are you going to let me come inside, or are you going to tell me out here?
The voice said. That's up to you, darling.
What do you mean?
Just because I'm using Babs as a butt puppet does not mean that I'm without resources, said the voice. I'm a lictor. Yes, multiple puppets are a pain. I'm hoping the expert is out there somewhere admiring my handiwork. But I'm not blind, Corona. My pretty golden girl roughing it in your jacket and your earrings. I'll give him this. He said, earrings or necklace. Nona watched we suffer tense. Something else was coming through her earpiece. She said,
not until we hear the call. No, no, the signal.
Crown whispered, what the hell are you talking about, Ianthe? You're scaring me.
You're scaring me.
Another sound. From somewhere to Crown's left, there was a low, brief sound like a call. A note that rose until something muffled it. It sounded like the captain. Crown said,
I don't know what you want from me.
Only what you want from me, said the other voice. And I'm going to be piqued if you make me be the bad guy here, okay? I am not having the world's most fun at the moment. I can't even hug you with my own arms, touch you with my own body. Only Babs's.
There's a metaphor in there. In conclusion, I am not self-soothing over here, and Studs never suited you, and you know it.
Exactly how much necromancy can you do?
That's an interesting question, said the voice.
Another long pause. The voice said impatiently, nod or shake, are they listening? There was no answer. None that Nona could see. Camilla's head had lifted entirely. We suffer was saying into the earpiece, do not line it up.
I understand, said the voice. Don't worry, baby, I'm not mad at you. He told me what you were.
Something happened. The speaker crackled, and the second voice got much louder, like they were talking right into the receiver.
Listen, dregs, to the saint of awe, the voice said. I'm very pleased you handed my sister back to me. That's why I am not currently flattening a planet that, I'll be honest with you, nobody really gives a shit about. I'm changing the terms of the demand, but don't panic. You see, I don't particularly care about Blood of Eden. In fact, I wouldn't mind if you all survived for a few hundred more years. You think we're fighting you on Antioch? You think you're the main event? Sure, you've made a hell of a mess, but we're already doing clean up. My eyes are not on you. Do you understand? Go and live another 5,000 years. I only want every house asset you've got. I know what you have, and I'll be taking all of it. I want the 6th house oversight body. I want Camilla Hecht on my front doorstep. And most of all, I want Harrow Hark Nona Jesimus as intact as you have her at this moment, or the whole planet is forfeit. Corona, don't cry again. I'm really not angry with you. It's funny that anyone thought you could fool me.
We suffer said, line it up. Crown was saying, Deuteros, promise you're not going to touch Deuteros.
And the other voice said impatiently,
If I have to look at Deuteros a second longer, I'll die. I can't believe you're going this far because you think you'll look good in a uniform. You always were nutty about uniforms. Why, Deuteros?
Camilla said urgently. No, listen to her. We suffer said.
What the hell is it?
In not a very nice way. She's trying to tell us something. But all Crown said was, She listened to me. I owe her.
Oh, that's not special. Anyone would listen to you if you unbuttoned your top two buttons. Well, no, not Deuteros. You were never in her line. Look, I'm taking you both in so you can relax. You just look so beautiful when you're nervous.
You're a tick, said Crown, half crying, half laughing. We Suffer's eyes slid to Nona's. Or maybe they had always been there. Nona sat there with a mouthful of water slowly going warm. A door opened and closed on the audio, close to where the voices were coming from. There was an unmistakable click. The flip-top was held to We Suffer's ear. Someone was speaking over it. We Suffer said quietly to Camilla, They're lined up. They can't take the shot. Don't. Our lives are at stake. Don't take it, said Camilla. Over the line, Crown's voice suddenly changed. Her mouth had moved in some other direction. She said, Oh my God, no! The other voice drawled, Don't freak out, darling. He's a tame lictor. He won't hurt you. He can't really hurt anyone any more. You and your little firebrands took him in as a pet, didn't you? Well, I'm taking him back to Papa as a gift. That is, if Papa can look up from his mid-dismyriad crisis long enough to pay attention. A new and wonderfully familiar voice ground out in tones that were unfamiliar.
Silence!
Shan't! You might be the saint of duty, but I've been on call as teacher's whipping girl for the last 6 months, so fuck to you, the other voice said. I can say what I like about him. Anyway, what do you think? Do we take in the gatecrasher or what?
Kill her, said the voice. That wait.
Crown said, I'll walk back out to the streets and let the people have me if you touch a hair on her head. And I'm not going anywhere with him. The drawling voice despaired.
Fine, get her inside, but he comes too. That's not negotiable.
He told you about Harrow. He told you about Cam.
He's told me everything.
The new voice said impatiently,
Get the fish hook out of the fish. Second earring, right ear.
The last thing the audio recorded was a blurry, Ow! And then the line went dead. Nona thrilled with recognition and relief. The new voice had been Pyrrha's.
21.
We Suffer listened for a few more minutes, and then, in an unusual display of temper or misery or both, threw her earpiece at the table. Then she put her mouse-coloured head in her hands. Nona, confronting the fact that she had too much in her mouth to swallow, hastily began gulping it in the tiniest of polite gulps she could manage. But her effort came to nothing. Her throat made a noise, a little bit like the noise of a gull on the beach trying to get down a whole sausage, and it was really loud. We Suffer put down the phone and looked at Camilla and Nona with wild eyes, a wildness not far off the one that Nona had seen in Hot Sauce's face. But that didn't matter. Camilla said, Don't move so quickly, which Nona thought was silly.
But Cam, she said, we've got to go to Pyrrha. You heard her. Didn't you hear her?
I heard, said Camilla.
The door slammed open. An Edenite in a mask, but with panicked, uncovered eyes, said,
The last shift got knocked out and locked in the infirmary. The necromancer's gone. The checks weren't done in order. The disturbance...
Leave your excuses. Go and tell Cell Commander Cole,
snapped We Suffer.
Yes'm.
The door slammed shut again. When they were alone,
Camilla said levelly. That went better than you deserved.
You are saying to me it went well?
Weissaffer's voice jumped upward.
In my opinion, Lieutenant Crown has betrayed us all with a promptness and the eagerness you do not normally see outside cheap plays at the theatre. And I believed. She swore 1,000 times. She made the sniper order, you see. The headshot was not intended for the lictor. She ordered the headshot for her if she was found out. And I believed her. I have seen people call for the headshot before, and their eyes are not so like hers were. She had the conviction. Then to steal Deuteros from under our noses, and to have lost Pyrrha Dve without the slightest right of recourse, I knew we should have chipped her. Now they ask for you by name. We are betrayed doubly.
Nona was immediately annoyed.
Don't say that about Pyrrha, she said. Pyrrha wouldn't betray us.
Child, your opinion doesn't...
I wouldn't make her mad, said Camilla calmly. And to Nona's great shame, Weissaffer hesitated. Into that hesitation, Cam said,
scan the frequency. Check for active bugs in the location.
Explain, said Weissaffer after a pause. Nona thought Weissaffer was being pretty slow.
Pyrrha just told us that everything's fine, she said, but I wish she'd picked me up from school instead of going to the barracks because then none of this would have happened. Thank goodness she's all right.
After a moment's continued staring, Weissaffer took the little flip-top pad and the receiver and dialed a number. Nona caught snatches of the conversation.
Put it on the shortwave and... no questions. Do it.
But she had lost interest. She turned to Camilla, pushed the chair back and joined her at the wall. Camilla budged up so there was room for her.
I don't feel well, said Nona, regretting all the water.
Cam's eyes flickered.
Take it easy.
I hate that shackle on your ankle, said Nona, feeling absurdly tearful.
You keep saying that. I don't care. Come here.
And Camilla did something she rarely did. She put her arm tightly around Nona so that Nona could feel all the bunched-up muscles of her shoulders and biceps, and she drew Nona close. Nona rested her head on Camilla's shoulder and put her arms around her middle. They stood like that, Nona holding Camilla, Cam holding Nona. Camilla was warm and strong and safe, and all her bones felt good. The hollow of her shoulder, the hard, firm line and ridge below her neck.
It's been a long week, said Camilla.
Yeah, said Nona. I want to go home with you. I want Pyrrha. I want Palamedes.
They held each other like that. Eventually, somewhere around the top of Nona's head, Camilla cleared her throat and said,
you know that tantrum you had? Do you remember attacking the guards with that chair?
I'm really sorry.
No, I mean... your stance was good, Camilla said slowly, as though trying to figure out how to say something. Good grasp, two-handed.
Just like practice, said Nona, with the sword.
Camilla said, but we practice one-handed. Nona pulled back a little and looked up into the eyes that used to belong to Palamedes, long before she knew either of them. Camilla's face, her steady gaze, the reassuring jumpiness of her body. Nona felt something strange. There was a hot trickle from her nose, and when Camilla wiped her face with her sleeve, it was revealed to be a bright red streamlet of blood.
I need to talk to Palamedes, said Camilla, lowly.
Before Nona could say that Palamedes had said the same thing, Weissaffer thumped the table so hard that Nona jumped.
There is another node, she announced, in equal parts horror and excitement. We still have contact. There is an inactive line, but where?
It'll be on Judith, said Camilla, untangling herself a little from Nona.
Give them time.
I knew the moment she brought Deuteros out. Pyrrha confirmed it.
Nona was right, she gave us codes.
Weissaffer said intently.
What did she tell you?
Nona said,
She said to fall in, that it was safe, and I think she said she found a whole bunch of cigarettes.
We suffer looked as though she did not understand. So she used a phrase she had often heard from the angel.
I'm afraid that's typical.
We suffer looked like she wanted to ignore this.
Can you truly trust Pyrrha Dvay?
Camilla, contemplative, cracked her neck and tried to lift the leg that had the shackle, but it beeped at her, so she put it down again.
I'm 90% sure she's putting on an act. Pyrrha Dvay will do anything to get at that shuttle.
We suffer, said slowly.
Then you always intended to run.
No, said Camilla. You have our hostages.
We suffer seemed to think about this.
There was a long pause. Then she said,
Very well. Perhaps the game is not lost, but it is very precarious, much more so than I would like. All the little chips have been put in the middle of the table in everybody's reach. We must proceed with great caution.
No, Camilla said again. Quite the reverse, actually. Nona looked up in surprise. We suffer seemed startled, too. This was such an un-Camilla thing to say. Camilla's mouth said, Update, please. And Nona rushed out,
Pyrrha's in the barracks. Crown went in and we heard her over the audio. The other one, Crown's boyfriend, I think, smashed the bug. But there's another bug on the captain, only we can't hear from it yet. Pyrrha's talking funny like she's trying not to sneeze, and she said there's something we need and we have to go and get it. But, oh, also, Crown's boyfriend said he wants everything, especially Camilla, and someone called Harrow Hark Nona Jesimus, and we have to give it to him by sundown.
Yes, she was always demanding, said Palamedes. In point of fact, that's not actually Crown's boyfriend, Nona. It's her sister, but I don't think anyone could blame you for getting confused.
Nona felt a little surge of relief at the idea that Crown did not have a boyfriend.
Commander, we suffer. I don't have a lot of time, so forgive me for railroading. My name is Palamedes Sextus. I'm the Master Warden of the Sixth House.
We suffer looked at him very, very hard.
That is impossible, she said. Palamedes Sextus died during the Canaan operation. But you saw me earlier, he pointed out, when I pulled the bullet out of Nona. Or did you think that was Camilla? She's not an adept, Commander. She can't do that kind of thing. Then you are, what? Possessing her somehow? You cannot expect... Look, it doesn't matter, said Palamedes. If you prefer to think that Camilla's got a psychological condition and sometimes flips her entire effect for no obvious reason, please believe whatever you find most comforting. The point is that there are some things you don't know, and I'm the one best placed to explain them. Listen. If we can get the body of Gideon Nav, the key to the locked tomb, out of that barracks, will you give us the sixth house?
For the key to the locked tomb, we suffer, said slowly. I will give you almost anything that is in my power to give.
Great, but that's not an answer.
Palamedes leant Camilla's body forward like he wanted to spring out of the chair.
The sixth house oversight body, assuming you can get them, which I realise is non-trivial, will you hand them over, yes or no?
We suffer sighed.
Yes, she said.
Palamedes sat back.
Right, he said. Let's talk details. Commander, Ianthe Tridentarius's hand is nowhere near as formidable as it seems. She's contrived to land on the planet by puppeting a dead body, controlling it at long range. That protects her from necromantic madness, but it also puts enormous constraints on her abilities. She's in many ways less powerful right now than a regular necromancer, and she's holed up in that barracks with a handful of bodyguards, and Pyrrha Dvay, whom you don't trust, but I very much do.
As he talked, Weesuffer's face had begun to warm with recognisable traces of interest. You are saying that we have her in the corner, she said.
Yes, sort of, but in the same corner you have the body of Gideon Nav. I've got no idea why the hell Ianthe brought it along. Presumably some sort of grisly power show. Or maybe she was hoping to bait out Harrowhark. but everyone in this room needs that body. It's your way to carry out your mission, and it's our way to save Nona."
We suffer glanced over at Nona, then back to Palamedes, and said, "The child is sick somehow?"
"I'm dying," Nona put in cheerfully.
Having admitted it once, the words seemed a little lighter every time she said them, so she was quite keen to say them at every opportunity.
"Take this on trust, but yes, Nona is very unwell, and we think the only way to save her is to get her near the corpse of Gideon Nav. It's all a bit theoretical still, but our goals very much align here."
"You are saying this as if it makes things worse, when, from my chair, things are looking only better," said We Suffer.
She was starting to perk up by We Suffer standards, which meant that her eyes had narrowed a bit.
"The same building contains both Gideon Nav, whom I want in a bag, and a lictor, now apparently neutered, whom I want in a box. And here I am, with a bag and a large number of boxes."
Palamedes' eyes flicked down to the watch on Camilla's wrist.
"No, there's another thing. Lictors can travel near instantaneously across huge distances. I don't know exactly what Ianthe can still manage, but there's a chance that if you spook her, she'll use that method to get herself out of danger, and more important, to get Gideon out of danger. They're not in a corner, Commander. They're bobbing on the end of a string, and I have a nasty feeling that string can be jerked back at any time."
"Then it is back to the cloak and the dagger. We must extract Nav quietly before there can be any spooking of the lictor."
"And that's where you need us," Palamedes concluded triumphantly. "With the best will in the world, how long will it take you to set up and stage some sort of commando raid on that barracks? More than 24 hours, I'd guess."
"You underestimate us. Abandoning check and balance, Tessiphone may be ready in 6.
"Okay, sure, make it 6. But we can do it in 30 minutes, allowing for traffic. Hera's already inside, and by the sound of it, Ianthe gave us a gift-wrapped excuse to send Camilla in as well. We can blindside Ianthe, put the body in a sack, and get you everything Commander Wake ever wanted. But you owe us the 6th house."
"Shit, my time's nearly up. Nona, tell Camilla everything, okay?"
"I want to go to the barracks too," said Nona. "I can help."
"That's... well, we can talk about that," he said. "Commander, please do the right thing. Blood of Eden went back on its word. Despite that, you can get the tomb and your honour, and all you have to do is trust a couple of zombies."
Then Camilla flopped forward a little in her seat, like she'd almost fallen asleep and caught herself at the last second. She sat up and looked at Nona.
"Palamedes told We Suffer everything about Ianthe and lictors," Nona said.
"I don't know why I bother," said Camilla to herself. Then she blinked several times and shook her head.
"This was not a shadow play, was it?" said We Suffer.
She looked peaceful, almost, as if she'd been worrying about whether something bad would happen and then had been told it was definitely happening.
"This possession, this spirit swapping, it is a genuine occurrence."
"Yes.
You are not some virtuoso actor. I spoke with Palamedes Sextus, and Palamedes Sextus died at Canaan House," Camilla said heavily.
"Yes."
We Suffer said, "I cannot give up the location of the 6th house.
Yet," she said, holding up one hand as Camilla's mouth hardened.
"Yet. Hecht, what you must understand about Blood of Eden is that we own things in common. We share responsibilities and resources in common. She could have moved these resources at will."
A head tilt to the dusty portrait of the big red-headed lady with the chilly eyes.
"But I must make one move at a time. And above all, I must place the safety of Blood of Eden's continuity even above the mission,"
Camilla said,
Tell me you know where the oversight body is.
I know enough, and more than unjust hope wants me to, said We Suffer.
Tell me they're alive, said Camilla.
I think they are.
Camilla leant forward a little in her chair. Her fringe fell in her eyes. Nona felt as though they should have known better a moved haircut day ahead. Camilla said, I'll try to get Gideon Nav's body. You'll give me the info.
We Suffer's expression softened a little. The fine lines around her eyes bunched and relaxed.
I am grateful you are willing to deal.
I say, done.
I said, try.
But Lamedes Sextus thought you could.
Camilla's mouth quirked minutely.
We have no info. I don't know the first thing about where Tridentarius is keeping it. I have no idea what she can do. We can't hold off Alicta for long. I need intel.
We will assist in any way we can.
We'll want the shuttle, too.
We Suffer did not miss a beat.
With stipulations.
Camilla did not say anything, and Nona got more and more embarrassed by the silence, so she said,
My friend had stipulations once, but the teacher put a cream on it.
Thank you, Nona, said We Suffer very kindly, and Nona felt pleased.
Then she looked back to Camilla and said, If you find a way off-world, I would like you to take a package with you.
Camilla raised her eyebrows.
Where?
Anywhere away from here, said We Suffer.
We don't carry metaphors, said Camilla. You've asked too much already.
We Suffer sat back in her seat. She was looking at a patch of wall a few inches above Camilla's head.
Let us suppose, she began,
and then there was a soft pop from the audio speaker and a sharp clack that made everyone jump. The clack was quickly followed by a heavier clunk and a rustle, and then Pyrrha's voice said from a distance,
She's alive.
And Crown's voice said closer,
Good. For you, I mean.
Camilla had immediately jumped up, grimacing a little, and retrieved a sheet of paper and a pen. She pressed it up against the wall and started scribbling. Pyrrha's voice, still dead and tense, said,
Threats?
I don't know your game, Crown was saying, but I don't trust you. I don't trust you with Camilla. I don't trust you with any of them. I don't know who you're for at the end of the day, and I never did. I knew that from the moment I saw you. I don't think you've had a sensation in the last myriad. Did you have a family once? Have you thought about them in the last 100 years, in the last 1,000?
No, said Pyrrha.
There was silence. Then Pyrrha said,
I don't trust you either.
Crown laughed. Even over the crackly audio, Nona could tell it was not one of Crown's nicer laughs. It was still a lovely, musical, rich sound. But Crown said, a little hysterically,
Nobody should ever trust me. Oh, poor old Gideon, poor Nav. It's disgusting what you're doing. Why are you dressing her up like a doll and wheeling her around? Who's it for? The troops don't buy it, surely.
Wouldn't know, said Pyrrha. Ask the Saint of Awe.
Don't call her that. It's ridiculous. Who'd want to be the Saint of Awe? It sounds like something you say about a puppy or a baby. Why do you keep the corpse locked up? This was all a dreadful plan to lure out the Ninth, wasn't it? I'm a little heartbroken, you know. I thought Ianthe had come for me, but it was only a mission, after all. A honey trap.
Yes, Pyrrha said.
Did her voice sound a bit closer now?
It's a trap.
You know why it won't work.
Doesn't matter. None can get at that corpse.
Oh, go away! Stop sounding portentous and go away and stand guard over wherever they've stashed her and leave Judith to me.
When the sedative wears off, there's going to be hell to pay. She can do a real number on herself, you know. I'm the only one who can make sure she's secure.
Pyrrha said,
Nice try.
Crown made a petulant sound.
Okay, fine. Stay here and watch while I do it, then.
but I think you're being stupid. If it had been me, I would have put Nav in a suitcase and put the suitcase in a cupboard and locked the cupboard door. She's a corpse. It's not like you need to let her out to use the bathroom.
I put all the corpses in the morgue, said Pyrrha.
What? What's that got to do with anything?
If I find you in here again with this necromancer alone, said Pyrrha, she will join them.
Another silence. Another burst of laughter from Crown. Then a third voice broke in, much more distant.
What's the joke?
Ianthe, said Crown in a hurry, this thing won't let us help Captain Deuteros. She'll be waking up soon, and the blue madness is really awful with her. She's almost as bad as the necromancers downstairs.
Corona, dear, I told him not to let you touch her.
Ianthe, you're making me mad, said Crown pleasantly.
And I sincerely love it. I've missed that face. Oh, for God's sake, here.
The voice had crossed over the room. There were more noises that Nona couldn't pass because they were so loud so suddenly. They were right up close to whatever was picking up the conversation, and both Camilla and Wee Suffer's faces went tight. But then Crown's voice said, with sudden steel,
"Don't do anything to her."
"It's a ward, my paranoid little pumpkin."
"A ward for what? I've never seen a ward like that."
"How you managed to fool anyone you were a necromancer, I do not know," said the voice, "except that I do. It was because of me. Think back to class, Corona. I'm only going to dab here and here and here."
"Use her spit," said Crown, still firm as steel.
"Forgive me. She did pay attention in class. All right. This is much closer than I ever wanted to get to Judith Deuteros's tongue, mind. As far as I know, this counts as sex on the second. Yuck. There we go. It's with her material, so it can't be deleterious to her body. Top marks, Corona Beth. I really am impressed. Do you remember that pop-eyed tutor asking you what would be a good substance for a regenerative ward, and you kept making rude suggestions in the sweetest little voice?
Yes, said Crown, whose voice had softened just a little. Marcus Trio, right?
God, you always remember these extras' names. You're right, it was Trio.
Don't worry, the ward's going to keep Deuteros unconscious for a little while. Come with me now, Corona. I want you and I to shut ourselves up and talk and talk and talk. Alone. You've hardly told me anything.
That's a hint to make yourself scarce, by the way, Duty. God, how to refer to you. We're going to need to give you a nickname to differentiate. What did Harrowhark used to always call you? Tortoise? Blorgus?
Pyrrha's voice was cool. You cut slits in her brain.
Crown said,
You... pardon?
Long story. Very funny. Come and hear it, said the third voice. Let's lock this door. I don't want Deuteros crashing the party, sweetheart.
Nona and Wee Suffer and Camilla were very silent for a while. But there was nothing after that. Camilla had written a whole page of scribbled nonsense.
Wee Suffer said tightly, Was that anything to you?
Camilla didn't answer at first. She had taken her pen and was underlining things, her lips moving soundlessly as she repeated phrases to herself. Nona sat down in front of her, tired from listening and from holding her breath to help her concentrate. She put her cheek up against Cam's knee. Cam did not seem to notice or mind until she looked down at Nona and then at her paper and she said,
What are Pyrrha's nicknames for you?
Kitty, said Nona immediately. Junior, Small Fry, Cutie Pie, Little Bits, Small Cam, Harry McClary.
Keep going.
Nums, No-No, Nope, Nun, Sweet Nuns, Nona Polona, the big no.
She should be arrested, murmured Camilla, then got it. We suffer leant forward eagerly.
What have you got?
Nona, said Camilla, putting the paper aside. Look at me. Nona, already so near to Camilla's knee, was happy to raise her chin and have both of her hands taken, unusual, by Camilla. Camilla squeezed her hands briefly, then paused, then put one of her hands to Nona's forehead and said, You're running a temperature.
Oh, I'm dying, that's probably why, said Nona. Don't worry, though, I've got whole days if I don't do anything stupid.
Cam's expression said that she found this both surprising and unfortunate. She said,
Stupid how?
It's complicated.
Does Palamedes know?
Yes, I told him.
Okay, said Camilla, with what Pyrrha always called her I will talk to your mother later face. Then, Nona, Pyrrha thinks you're the key to something we want.
The body?
Yes.
And?
You're going to have to be brave.
Oh, please, said Nona dismissively. Just tell me what you need me to do.
Camilla smiled at her. For that smile, Nona would have lived if she had had any say in the matter. She did not answer, but said to We Suffer, How long until sundown?
You have over 8 hours. Can you get the 6th house by then? Can you get me some materials right now? As you promised me, so I promise you. I will devote every resource I have to the attempt. Tell me what you need.
A pair of scissors, said Camilla. Iris dye. She looked at Nona's button-up shirt, which was unbuttoned to show the T-shirt underneath. And the blackest clothes you can find.
John 9:22. In the dream, he finally took her to the front of the concrete wreck. It had taken him a while to clear the rubble away from the door. He seemed to want to do it by hand. After watching him for an hour, she helped. The rocks cut their fingers and strained their wrists, and the cuts knitted back up so quickly that they were in danger of healing their skin over the sharp edges of the jagged concrete chunks, of sucking slivers of glass into their hands. Sometimes they did suck glass in. Every few hours, they had to pause so he could get rid of all the grit that was accumulating underneath their skins, stuff they'd healed over by accident. When the doors were clear, he took her into a room he said was the old reception area. The water had smashed it to bits, but he said it had been smashed to bits before. At some point, the desk had been broken up and pushed in front of the door, but then the door had burst open and flung piles of desk on either side of the room. There were puddles of fetid water. And bones, leftover bones, bones in clothes, bones with meat still clinging to them. She pointed out that some of the bones still had meat on them, and he said to stop. He wouldn't go any farther inside for a while. He stood there in the smelly, hole-pocked, rubbishy darkness and said,
They made it clear that they'd arrest anyone who tried to join us. Floods of people came anyway. It felt like half the world. In reality, it was, what, maybe a couple thousand? Coming out as a necromancer didn't exactly win me the popular vote, but the police were pushed to a fever pitch with anxiety. The international party line was that the problem had to get taken care of. Overseas relief troops were being flown in by the UN, and our government didn't like it. They said it wasn't a war zone, and they didn't want a bloodbath, and was it even legal? We took who we could behind the wall. I was extending that thing outward meter by meter. Didn't need new cows by then because I could grow the original material, but that just freaked everyone out more. It even scared A. He was all, Matter doesn't play by these rules. You're doing bone parthenogenesis. I told him his mum did bone parthenogenesis. A told me he'd kill me one day.
He said,
What I could do wasn't simply freaking out everyone outside the walls. We were running out of tests to run on me. I was getting stronger minute by minute. The last frontier I couldn't cross was the soul. Ems, none of all people, was convinced this was the element I was missing, and that finding it, the last link between what made someone alive and what made someone dead, would bring us closer to God. She was right, but I'm not sure she was right in the way she meant.
He said,
I was getting so frustrated trying to figure it out. The soul, element X. I knew the only way I was going to get closer was to see more people die. I got my wish. A bunch of new faithful appeared outside the walls hoping to come in, and they refused to back off, and they exchanged fire with the crowd keeping watch outside, and 5 people died.
He said,
and I saw something.
He said,
I was too distracted to do anything with it because it was then that I found out fresh deaths were like crack cocaine. I'd never taken crack cocaine, but I thought that must have been what it felt like. It was like my brain was hyper-attuned to the moment of violent death. I could feel it like it was happening to me, like it was injected into the bottom of my spine. I could see everything. I could feel everything.
He said,
I took the energy from those 5 dead people, and I dropped everyone with a gun in a kilometer radius. Stopped the hearts of the army guys, the rent-a-cops, the peacekeepers, the locals. There were over 100 of them, but I didn't discriminate. A couple of them were in helicopters, but I didn't get the pilots, just the guys inside. Just bam, and they were down. It was so easy. It was like I was dreaming. I could see them all like I was standing right there from the heat of their bodies and the blood chewing through them. It took no effort and it took no time. It simply happened. And the more I did it, the more I could see. I was on the verge of something insane.
He said,
I came to when P started shaking me. Talk about police abuse. She asked what the fuck was I doing. She was angry.
One of the only times I'd seen her angry. One of the only times I'd seen her scared. Because I'd stopped the hearts of all those guys, right? And I hadn't started them again. I said, I forgot. She said, you've never forgotten before. I said, I swear to God, I didn't know what I was doing. A bunch of the guys were her old co-workers. Guys she'd gone through training with in Porirua, beer buddies. I kept saying, sorry, I'm sorry, I freaked out, it was an accident, I don't know what happened. When they opened fire, I lost my head. I said I made a mistake. She let it go eventually because the others were telling her to lay off. Just said, guys as careful as you shouldn't have accidents. If you've got a gun, learn how to aim it. This is too big for fuck-ups now. Poor G. Didn't know what to do. He never knew how to pick between me and P.
He said,
in the end, we dragged in all the corpses. For the skeleton army, I said. And I'd stopped kidding.
For a while, both of them stopped talking.
He kicked at some of the old wet rubble. A bad smell came out.
He did not fix the bad smell.
She said, did you ever find out what happened? With your accident.
He turned to her, and he smiled a funny little smile. It only used one half of his mouth. In the dream, his new eyes did not show happiness or unhappiness. And he said,
come on, love. Guys as careful as me don't have accidents.
22.
5 hours later, Nona did not know herself. This was a good thing, as she wasn't meant to be herself. She was only meant to turn her head and answer if she was called Harrowhark, or Nona Jesimus, or Ninth. Her complete inability to answer to Harrowhark, or Ninth, meant that Camilla had given up on anything other than Nona Jesimus, and a sigh of, remember not to smile.
I won't smile at the time, Nona promised.
Or turn to me when you're scared, said Camilla.
I promise.
Or nervous.
Okay.
or turn to me as though I know anything or could assist you in any way, said Camilla. If Nona hadn't known if she wanted to be red-headed, princely, or necromantic, she wasn't at all sure she wanted to be Harrowhark Nona Jessimus either. Cam had cut both of her braids off and sheared her almost to the bone, which made her look like Beautiful Ruby's mother's baby, but much less beautiful or intriguing. They had taken away her salt chip fish shop t-shirt and requisitioned a black button-up shirt and trousers off of the smallest Blood of Eden member they could find, and these had to be cinched around Nona's hips with clasps. Harrowhark Nona Jessimus lived by rules. She had to stand up very straight and never slouch and never scratch if she had an itch and not make any expressions that weren't a frown. And remember, Harrow, said Camilla, you can't see, you're blind. They had taken some iris dye and a little plastic applicator and changed Nona's eyes. She could still mostly see through the dye and the applicator, although it made everything fuzzy around the edges. But catching a glimpse of herself in the mirror had nearly made her go into hysterics. The dye coated her nice yellow eyes with a thick, eggy film that made them grey and white. Everything about the whites looked cloudy and sticky. We Suffer, of all people, had done the application herself, rolling up her sleeves and being quite nice about it. Another Blood of Eden person in a mask had approached, but We Suffer had said, "Let me. I was always a dab hand at the application of camouflage," and had not even been mean when Nona blinked. We Suffer had said, leaning over Nona's face and checking the position of the plastic films, "I am glad you did not tell us this. We had no idea there was any recourse from Varun the Eater's effects, nor any beast." "It's pure theory," Camilla said curtly. "Something's being transmitted in the light spectrum. Absorption through the eyes is worst for the brain." This made Nona think of something. It tugged at the edges of her memory and stayed there, nagging. "They would have shot everyone with cataracts," said We Suffer. "You already shot all the madmen," said Camilla. "Survival through caution," said Our Lady of the Passion. The Blood of Eden base became a hive of activity. The meeting room was a constant parade of Blood of Eden soldiers bringing materiel and reports and sandwiches and rubbish bags in and out of the door. At first, there was the problem that nobody but We Suffer and Pash was willing to be in the same room with Camilla and Nona unless both were shackled to the wall, and Nona had refused. Pash had lugged in chairs and boxes and a roll of what appeared to be wire fencing and made a kind of barricade that Nona was being treated behind. A couple of the Blood of Eden soldiers were willing to come in if Nona and Camilla were behind that, in their masks and with their guns. "Fucking idiots," said Pash. "Wrote down all their names. Psychological racks. This barricade's nothing. A zombie could bust it in seconds. These guys ever apply for strike teams, pow, they can go whistle." "You misuse your power in an incredible fashion," said We Suffer.
"Commander, I wouldn't misbehave if you hadn't given me the worst job of my life."
"It was meant to be privilege enormous."
"Not saying it's not," said Pash, "but it's still the worst job of my life."
Nona quite fancied Pash at this point. She had got to see her up close during all the preparations. She hadn't put her mask back on, and she was wearing a thin-strapped top along with big trousers with heaps of pockets to put things in. She had wrangled her short, dyed blue hair behind a sweatband so that the longer bits didn't fall in her scarred eyebrows or green eyes, and every so often she scowled at Nona like she could cause Nona to melt away dead. Nona had kept giggling, and that got her told off because Harrowhark Nona Jessimus didn't giggle. At one point, Nona had been worried because Camilla had shut herself away in the corner to write backward and forward with Palamedes. Palamedes had focused nearly all his attention on writing, except at one point he'd looked Nona over and said, "Look at me like you've worked out how to kill me." And then, "More eyebrows." And then, "Good God, perfect. Do you know I miss Harrow terribly?" Then he'd gone back to his letter. When it was done, Camilla read it heaps and heaps and heaps of times, and then she had to lie down with her knees tucked up to her chest while breathing out through her nose. Nona came to lie down next to her. She whispered, "Did you overdo it?" "Yes," said Cam shortly, then, "It wears off. We're fine." Then, "Let's take a nap." Nona had been going to ask Camilla lots and lots of questions, but at the idea that they would get to take a nap together, she forgot all of them. She was tired herself and had been obliged to eat 2 sandwiches. When nobody was looking, she had gone searching in Wee Suffer's little case of pens and things and found a whole bright pink eraser, and she had taken a huge bite out of it, and that had made her feel better. But getting to sleep next to Camilla was the best of all. When she had woken up, the dye had all come out because she had scratched it off in her sleep, and the plastic bits had peeled out too, so we suffer had had to put them back in, but didn't even complain about it. No one even forced her to tell them about her dream. When we suffer was doing this, Camilla said, "Keep to yes or no answers. Ianthe may try to talk to you. Refuse to answer."
"Rudely or nicely?"
"Rudely." Nona felt she could do that. "The rest of the time," said Camilla, "you need to act like the captain." Nona wanted to say,
"You mean lying down?"
But it did not seem the right time to try to be funny. Cam looked so serious. She said slowly,
"Like I have the blue madness?"
"Yes. You're well enough to stand and you know what's going on, but you're going to keep having fits of blue madness."
"When?"
Camilla thought about it. "Whenever you're asked something difficult." This was Nona's only task, except for being dressed as, pretending to be, and answering to the name of Harrow Hark Nona Jesimus. Cam had told her that her main job was to be a distraction. Nona asked if Harrow Hark Nona Jesimus had been a distraction in life, and Cam said it always was the quiet ones. It seemed as though Camilla's part would be the more challenging. We suffer and Cam spent a long time talking quietly over maps, while Pash leant against one wall and pared her thumbnails with a knife. Nona's heart throbbed romantically. At last, We Suffer made her eyebrows go together and said, "We will provide the getaway. The rest is up to you." Camilla said, "Your part?" "Tessiform breached one of Merv Wing's cells 2 hours ago," said We Suffer. "The interrogation was underway within 15 minutes. By the time we will have to answer for our intercell crimes, I will either be a conquering hero to whom everything is forgiven, or I will have to shoot myself. I will be disappointed if I must shoot myself, Ect. I have very often not had to shoot myself. Our Lady of the Passion will accompany you." Pash's knife stopped and she said, "No, I won't. I'm on Jota. Your duty and I have had a talk, and they would like to be present," said We Suffer smoothly. "They shouldn't go anywhere near that super zombie," said Pash, incredibly startled. "Commander, fuck this. I'm taking them to the safe house the moment dusk hits." "I am not telling you this as any kind of command," said We Suffer. "I am telling you I have been served my marching orders, and M says that M desires to oversee this operation from a place of safety next to their lifeguard. You are the only lifeguard on duty, as Mervwing is currently suffering unavoidable pangs courtesy of us." "I'm not going anywhere near that thing." "You have met a lictor before," said We Suffer.
"I don't mean the lictor."
"It is only a body," said We Suffer.
"Why do I detect your finger in this pie?"
"You are budging curiously close up to insubordination again," said We Suffer.
"Commander, my ass is already grass if the council finds out about anything I did yesterday. I signed myself over to Tessiphon when I was a kid. I'm with you, but the messenger shouldn't be near the—"
We Suffer said, "They may have a working shuttle, Pash. Quiet, please." Pash went quiet. We Suffer said, "Hecht, you say you only need one good chance, an element of surprise,
and the lictor will be out of the question.
In all likelihood, not permanently, said Camilla.
If not permanently, what happens after that?
We're flying blind, said Camilla.
We suffer, said. A lictor out of the question impermanently is more than any of us has ever achieved.
Nearly any of us, she amended. But then she sighed again explosively and said,
So long as the key is secure, I may get away with anything. You are certain? One simple touch.
Yes.
Convenient, said Pash, in a not very nice voice. I will not salute you both, said We Suffer. It is too much to ask of me. But if you do this thing, I will salute. I will frankly pin my own medals on your fronts. Crack the sky, Troya Cell.
And then there they were in the truck. The same big truck that had picked up Hot Sauce and Nona, the one with the grill for running people over. Cam and she were at the back, and Pash was at the front. And Nona was startled to see the angel, Aim, in the passenger seat, even though she had known she would be coming. It was strange to see her peering back through the mesh, looking like she always did, as though she were about to ask Nona for a cup of coffee.
Where's Noodle? Nona blurted.
In the footwell, poor old man.
The angel cleared her throat and said, I like the haircut, Nona.
I don't, said Nona, a little wrathfully, a little shyly.
She wasn't quite sure where she stood with the angel. I liked my braids. My head feels strange when I move it.
Easy to brush, though,
Camilla said.
No names. Nona Jasimus needs to concentrate.
Nona tried to look as though she could concentrate and stared out of the window, her heart hammering, her palms greasy with sweat. It was not even that she was nervous, not really. Her body had been playing strange games with her ever since she had recovered from the last tantrum. She was beginning to feel like a floating balloon on a string, with a weight tied to the end, the balloon bobbing, the weight dragging behind. She was the balloon, and also the string, but she wasn't sure she was still the weight. Looking had become quite difficult. She didn't want to blink too much in case the white came out again, which made the buildings all one great smear, the crowds brightly coloured stick people. People with their hands in their pockets standing around on the street corners, people walking, people thronging, people righting bins that had been knocked over, as though nothing were happening, as though her whole life really were nothing more than a balloon passing by overhead. Pash drove them through the city scientifically, which meant that she constantly leant on the horn of the car and occasionally mounted the pavement until Camilla said, Pull over. We'll go the rest of the way on foot.
You'll get shot.
We're used to it, Pash said.
Zombie, you betray us. You fuck this up. You know we blow that barracks sky high.
I'm relying on it, said Camilla. The angel said quietly, Will it really be so simple?
Yes, said Camilla. The car pulled to a stop. Pash got out of the front and slid the big side door open. Nona breathed in the nice smell of fresh air and plastic fumes and fire. There were people huddled on the street and in the buildings and on stoops, looking at them suspiciously, but nobody said or did anything. Pash, with her fierce soldier's face and attractive eyes, stared at Nona and Camilla hatefully, and then at Cam.
Chances, she said shortly.
Cam said, 50-50.
What happens on the bad roll?
I die. Camilla unbuckled Nona, and Nona and Camilla staggered out to stand beneath the blue-tinted sky. Nona, with her altered white gaze, saw everything obscured through fog. Camilla helped her to stand, and then she crossed over to the boot of the car and waited quietly for Pash to open it. Nona was surprised to see that the boot was filled with boxes from home, from the cupboard with the fake board in it. Camilla flipped open boxes and took out a belt,
which she tied around her waist, and she secured a hook to the side of the belt. To this hook she reverently attached a long plain black scabbard, then a shorter plain black scabbard, and she tested the hilts in her hands. Cam sighed, really sighed, as though she had gone to lie down in a hot bath. The last thing Camilla did was reach into her pocket and take out the sunglasses, and she perched them on her nose.
Pash said, "Your people, that obsession with swords."
"We are our swords," said Camilla.
She shrugged on a crisscross halter of black plastic straps and clipped it tight across the front of her chest, and then she opened a box and took out two long plain knives, the type of thing they used to chop up fish at the market. All of Cam's secret knife stash, Nona thought, numb with anticipation.
"Yeah, you're outdated, just like them," said Pash. "They're a weakness, a hand-me-down form of complete fucking insanity."
Camilla said,
"You use machetes yourself."
"Wanted to get inside your heads," said Pash.
Camilla considered her, her clear grey eyes narrowing to slits in the sand and the sunshine.
"Did you?"
"Occasionally, literally," said Pash.
Both of them fell silent. Nona twiddled her thumbs. Pash seemed to be the one pent up with something she couldn't quite say, standing there with her arms folded until she ground out,
"Die quick, die cold, bring 'em with you."
There was a movement on Cam's mouth, a little like her old smile.
"That one yours?"
"No,
came down from someone much bigger than me," said Pash shortly. "Don't get me wrong, wizard slave. You die quick, stay dead, and don't get up again.
But if you kill a guy who would have killed me, I have to give you that, right?
I pulled a trigger next to you. That doesn't mean nothing. But it doesn't change who you are."
Camilla held out her hand. Pash shook her head.
"I'll touch you at the end of the world, but not before."
"Might be your last chance," said Cam.
Pash barked a laugh.
"In my final minutes, Hecht, I won't regret not shaking your hand."
"Nona Jesimus," said Camilla.
"Let's go."
It was hard to see, but Cam had said not to reach for her or to try to hold her hand. Nona held herself and thought of Hot Sauce, so still and real and royal, so sure-footed, who walked like she never needed anyone. By the time they reached the broken-down, bombed-out, bullet-littered road that led to the barracks, Camilla murmured,
"Keep going."
The gates to the barracks swung wide for them. They did not need to yell at anyone to open them up. Nona perceived a scurry of movement to the side, and then they were let into the wide-open courtyard where Crown's car still sat, its back doors wide open, its windows pockmarked with bullet holes from disappointed snipers. Nona had never seen the barracks before, not up close. It was a huge concrete building, square and tall, with long slits cut next to a second-story porch for people to fire out of, and bars over the grand lead-lined windows. It was a building unlike any others in the city. It was big and dark and magnificent, but chipped and dirty and dented, like a lady in a burnt-up ball gown. Its ornate crenellations were so crumbled that it was hard to tell what their original pattern had been, and once brightly coloured flags had been unrolled down the sides of the windows in all kinds of colours, but they had mostly been torn off by the roots with only dull coloured floss left behind. Nobody shot at Nona as she crossed the courtyard, and nobody shot at Camilla. Great double doors waited.